again for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to a place where the Holy Spirit will minister unto us, Father. I yield myself as a vessel, and I pray and ask, and we touch and agree upon this, Father, that you would think through my mind and speak through my mouth that I'll be an oracle of God. We thank you, Father, that the Word of God is coming forward to all those who have ears to hear, Father, and hearts open to receive. Father, teach us things we need to know that would give us life concerning being in health, Father. We're looking to your Word, not to man. We're opening our spirits and our minds and our hearts up to you. You teach us your Word tonight in Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen. Well, we began last night talking about be in health. Be in health. It's God's will that you be healed. Doesn't matter what anybody say it. Doesn't matter what anybody taught. Irrevocably, without question, it's God's will that you be healed. There's not many Christians, if any Christians, who would say it's not God's will for people to be saved. Everybody knows, accepts, and understands clearly that Jesus came that we might be saved. But we don't understand he also came to redeem us from the curse of the law, which is trifold. He came to redeem us from poverty. He came to redeem us from sickness. And he came to redeem us from spiritual death. And we all know that God is good at what he's supposed to do. Jesus did everything he was supposed to do. He completed a finished work. We are redeemed from poverty, from sickness, and spiritual death. But at the same time, all of these blessings of Abraham, as it were, will come unto us and be unto us according to what?
Our faith.
According to our faith. Jesus said so many times in the New Testament, be it unto you according to your faith. We looked at Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all thy benefits, who healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. So that action of healing and that action of salvation were accomplished together on the cross. We looked in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 again tell us that surely he bore our sicknesses and he carried our sorrows. He was a man acquainted with grief, stricken, and we did esteem him smitten of God. So Jesus himself, the chastisement or the price of our peace in our bodies, in our souls, in our minds, the price of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes ye are healed. In advance, thousands of years in advance, it said prophetically through the prophet Isaiah, by Jesus' stripes ye are healed. We look in 1 Peter 2, 4, after Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected, and it says in 1 Peter 2, 4, he himself bore our sickness on a tree, and by Jesus' stripes we were healed. We were healed. Like one person said, if you were healed, you are healed. If you are healed, then ye is healed. If you are healed, then how come sometimes you look at your body and say, I'm not healed? Well, that's what's manifest in the body based on ignorance, things we don't know, or disobedience. We may look at have time to look at a few of the reasons, but some of the reasons sickness persists. The number one reason I'm going to say sickness persists is ignorance. We don't know it's God's will for us to be healed. We've been taught other things. Well, you know, sickness is just part of the human condition. No, it's not part of the human condition. Many people on this planet live knowing we get sick. They live until they die. Now, they're not living eating a Western diet, but they live until they die. Disease is not common. The common cold is not common all over the world. It's only common in European areas and areas that have been influenced by Western society. It's not common to have a cold. But see, we've accepted sickness as though it's the natural state. So we all believe everybody's going to get sick sometime. That's just part of the way things are. But that's not true. There's hundreds of thousands of people living down on this earth and don't ever get sick. That's hard for us to even believe since we're pushed so much with drugs and other things. But it's true. It's God's will that all be healed, and people who follow his laws concerning eating and living and stress and rest and all the different things you need to do to keep this mortal body correct, you'd be surprised how it works. Healing is put within the body. Any honest doctor would tell you doctors don't have the power to heal. They can give you medications and different things and sometimes be able to help you, help your body get in condition. But if I was to cut my hand and I put a Band-Aid or something on it, wash it, put a Band-Aid on it, it would heal. Why? Because healing's in the body. It's the will of God for the body to heal itself. Healing is in the body. But we have to not do things against it. If I were to cut myself and then it starts bleeding and then I put a Band-Aid on it and tomorrow I go do something and rip it open again, then I go the next day, bandage it, then rip it open again, and rip it over again, and I start saying healing's not for today, must not be the will of God. Now, is healing not for today, or am I doing something that's causing myself to be wounded? I'm doing something. And see, it's the same thing if we believe God and receive healing, or if we are healed, and then we keep doing things to cause sickness to come, we're not going to be healed, but that's got nothing to do whether it's God's will to heal or not. That's got to do with what we did. If I keep ripping my hand open, that does not mean the healing power of God is not in operation in my body. God has designed my body to heal itself. But if I do things contrary to that, and it's the same exact thing with eating. If I eat incorrectly, I just think I can pray over the food. You remember I told you a few months ago, first time ever happened in my life, last time ever happened, I was somewhere when these fast food restaurants or something. And because of the knowledge that I had about some things, I'm praying. And I said, Lord, you know, I pray that you bless this food, you cleanse it, you nourish my body. And I heard a voice clear as day say, I'm not going to bless that mess. I'm trying to get my food blessed, and I'm hearing back, I'm not going to bless that mess. Why? Because I knew exactly what it was I was eating. I studied it up to know that what I was eating was not food, and it was not only not food, it was dangerous. I knew that. Some people have it rattling around their mind, but I had meditated and studied enough that I knew that I knew that I knew down in my spirit that that was poison, and I was standing there trying to ask God to bless it. And that's just plain old foolishness. That's presumption at best. I'm going to presume that God is going to bless it just because I ask him to, when God already said, don't eat it. It's not food. If it's not food, don't put it in your mouth. We're talking about how to be in health. God says, I wish above all things. Our main text was 3 John 2. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, but your health and your prosperity be related to as your soul prospers. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. As you prosper your mind, your intellect, your thinking, you get knowledge. He that storeth up knowledge is wise, it says in Proverbs. How much knowledge have you stored up concerning dietary measures? How much knowledge have you stored up concerning what's put in the food you eat? How much knowledge have you stored up? The Bible says he that stores up knowledge is wise and says that you'll be his will for you to be healed and walk in divine health and to be in health is going to be based on how much knowledge you stored up and then your will to do it. And then your emotions, to control your emotions, say, but you don't understand, I just love fried chicken. Some people do love fried chicken. I mean, they do. They've convinced themselves they love it, so they love it. But see, that's an emotional issue. If you're going to fall in love with a piece of fried chicken, that's an emotional issue. But see, you can educate yourself out of loving that. You can educate yourself right out of it. But it's not going to happen, because how does faith come? From hearing. If you don't study something, if you don't read something, if you don't renew your mind, you remember the Bible gives us an element of in Romans 12:1 where it says, be not conformed to this world. This world has a way of living in its philosophies of sin and how you should treat people. The world's like, just step on them on the ladder to get to the top. We all know as Christians, that's not a good way to live when you're stepping all over your brother, man, your fellow brother. We know that. But do we know that God has, there's a world system here, not only concerning how you should morally behave and conduct and relate to other human beings, there's a system about eating that is the world system. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. What is the good, perfect, acceptable will of God? How are we going to prove that? By the renewing of our mind. How are we not going to be conformed to the world system of eating? By the renewing of our mind. How are we not going to be conformed to the world's way of thinking and treating people and stepping on people all the way up the financial ladder? How are we going to do that? By renewing our mind. Again, it's all tied together. Now, what Christians have done is they've tried to be ignorant, gullible, and dumb and still be blessed. And you know most of us not blessed. You know most of us aren't, because if you stop and take a look at the average Christian in America, they look like the average sinner in America. There's folks you work with now who call themselves Christians, and you have no idea they're Christians. There's folk who work with you and have no idea you're a Christian. Now, that's what the average Christian looks like the average sinner. We have the same sickness rate. We have almost the same divorce rate. We have the same amount of checks bouncing around town. We have the same amount of problems as everybody else. It's no wonder they don't want God. What has he done for you lately? Why would I want him? All I see you doing is dragging yourself down to church and putting tithes and offerings in the church. That doesn't seem like a way to be blessed to me. The most unhappy person on the planet is a carnal-minded Christian. Carnal-minded Christian, carnal is body, that's flesh-led, a fleshy Christian, because there's sinners out there that's happy in their sin. Like the Bible says, sin has joy for a season. So they're out there happy, full of joy. But you got people who want to be saved, trying to get a little fire insurance from hell, but really won't press into the word enough to really benefit from it. Because you only benefit from it from pressing in. You remember one of our favorite scriptures, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not cease to be in my mouth. It shall not depart out of my mouth. I will meditate it in it day and night to do according as all that's written within it. Then I, will, the Lord or I? Well, I was taught that you just do what you want to do and God's going to do it all. It's funny, the Bible says something totally different from what I was taught in church. Well, Lord, take that evil spirit away from me. Lord, take that desire for wrong kind of food away from me. God, just take this away. God doesn't want it. He's got nowhere to put it. He's not going to take it away from you. The Bible says, this book of law, keep it in your mouth. Meditate it day and night. You do, according to all that's written within it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. You shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success if you do. Paul says, I keep my body under. He didn't say, Lord, help me to keep my body under. You know how many people pray, God, help me with my body? God's not going to do anything about your body. If you are truly saved, you are not in bondage to the flesh or to sin. But if you will to do what your body wants, and if you've not trained your spirit so that it doesn't want to do what the body wants all the time, then what's going to happen to you is you're going to be flesh-led. And when we sow unto the flesh, Romans 8, we reap of the flesh. And if we sow into the flesh destruction, we reap of the flesh destruction. Now, what we have to understand is we do have a part to play in our health. And God is not going to go around it. I've seen Christians die. I've buried Christians, and I hope I don't have to bury no more Christians. But that's going to happen to us as long as we walk in the world system of eating and we're ignorant in the world system of thinking. This is America. This is America. Money is God. Right now, we rule the world, and Satan is the god of this world, and he's ruling it from America. We make decisions based on money. We produce food based on money. We produce cattle based on money. We do not produce it on nutrition or what's good for people. We produce it based on money. And you're just naive or dishonest to believe anything different. Now, some people don't want to face up, but you have got to inform yourself if you want to walk in the wisdom of God so that you can break out of the world's matrix of thinking. So that you can begin to do things God's way, because everything God said, every promise he's made in the Bible, that you're the head, not the tail, and that he wants you healed and all the rest of them, Satan cannot stop you if you re-educate yourself and then obey the word. You become a doer of that word. So we begin to look at God's will. We saw there's a benefit of healing in the Old Testament. We looked at it was prophesied that Jesus would come and take our sicknesses away. We looked in 1 Peter 2:24 where the apostles who walked with Jesus was there at his crucifixion. They got a revelation. They said, guess what? By his stripes, ye were healed. By his stripes, ye were healed. Now, it's going to be unto you according to your faith. Don't ever forget that, because your mind say, well, I'm not healed. If God says I was healed, I'm not healed. It's God's will to all be saved, too. But some people are dying today going to hell because he gave us a choice between life and death and said, choose life. Some people keep choosing death. He gave us a choice between health and sickness, and some people still choose sickness. Now, most of us choose it ignorantly, but we do choose it. We just choose it ignorantly, but we do choose it. As long as we decide or choose to remain ignorant, we will not have the knowledge to make a better choice. So therefore, we will suffer and Satan will destroy us. And some of us would die a painful death of cancer and all other types of problems. When God never intended that for his children, and Jesus has already paid the price for us by our faith, walking in the will and the word of God and following what he says about eating and walking in wisdom concerning eating. None of us has to die prematurely. Sometimes we say things when people die like the Lord took them. Sometimes we say things when people die was their time. No, it ain't their time. And no, the Lord didn't take them. If you die prematurely, you die prematurely for a reason. If it wasn't a martyr's death, somewhere you miss God. Now, we don't need to dress it up and design it and put all this mess on it, because then that leaves the other people still alive to think, well, when my time comes, he'll take me too. And I don't have to do nothing. That's like saying everybody's going to die when God wants them to die, no matter what they do. And that's exactly what people in the world say. Well, if God's going to do what he's going to do anyway, why do I need to do anything? You have your part to play. You have your part to play in how long you live. You have your part to play on how you die. You have your part to play. We don't have time to go in and teach that you can control a lot about your death. We have a lot more authority over our death than we think. The Old Testament people, they were kind of like the American Indians. When it came time that they were ready to go, or when it came time when they said, look, you know, I'm full of this life, they just tell the people I'm gone. They go off to a cave and literally release their spirit and die. You had Isaac and some of the other patriarchs, they called their grandchildren unto them. They weren't sick. They said it was full of years. They called their grandchildren unto them, and they said, you know what? They blessed the different ones here and there. And then the Bible said they would let go and just give up the ghost. They'd give up the ghost. They just let the spirit go. I'm ready to go. And you know, medical science already told you that if people don't have a will to live, you can't keep them alive. There's sometimes in the hospital, they'll tell you people died just because they gave up the will to live. Do you realize if you are in tune with your spirit, you can give up the will to live anytime? Do you know if you're in tune with your spirit, you can also will to continue? Now, the Bible says we're promised 70. A score is 20 years. So we're promised 70. Even modern day man is promised 70 years and extra time for good measure because of faith. You want to do more, you believe in God. So when you die before 70, you die prematurely unless you died a martyr's death and it was for the purpose of the gospel. Nobody needs to be dying before that. Nobody needs to. And nobody has to. But if Satan has so many people having faith that, well, you know, my time could be any time tomorrow. No, it ain't my time tomorrow. It's too soon. It ain't my time for a long time. See, that's just the way it is. Now, that's what I believe. And I have the word of God to stand on that. But it will be unto you according to your faith. If you think you might go any day, guess what? You might go any day. I have the word of God saying it's not anywhere near my time. I got too much to do for God. And Satan cannot take me out because he does not have authority over me. Now I'm no longer in bondage to sin. I have authority over me, but with authority comes what, church? Responsibility. God has made me a free moral agent. I have authority over my life. God does not control me. God has never controlled anybody. He's never made anybody do right. And the devil does not control any Christian. He doesn't make you do wrong. Set before us in each decision of life is a choice. Illustration we use is we have to understand that decisions determine direction and direction determines destiny. If heaven is that way and hell is that way and I decide I want to go to heaven, but then I start acting another way, walking that direction, I don't care how happy I am, I'm on my way to heaven, shouting the victory. If I'm going that way, I'm on my way to hell. My decisions set a direction, but my actions have to walk that course. If I say I'm going to serve God and the word of God says he's going to bless me and I say I'm going to live and long life shall he satisfy me and I'll fulfill the number of my days. While I'm talking to you, turn to Psalms 91. With long life shall he satisfy me and I'll fulfill the number of my days. If I dare say about myself what God says about me, I better walk the walk that I'm talking. I better walk the walk that matches the talk. It's not a matter of just confession, because remember, the Bible says faith without corresponding actions is dead. For don't be like the man. I love it over in James 1 where they say, don't be like James 1:22, I think it is. Don't be like that man who looks in the mirror and looks and sees what kind of man he is, then walks away and forget which manner man he is. For a long time, I didn't understand what that meant. I asked God to help give me understanding. And in that illustration, what they're talking about is when you look in the mirror, you're generally looking in the mirror because you're concerned about whether you're presentable. Before you came to church, some of you looked in the mirror. No, I think most of you looked in it, I guess. But, you know, we looked in the mirror. I looked in the mirror before I came out to make sure I looked the way I want to look to you all. Now, the Bible says the man who hears the word but does not do the word is like a man who looks in the mirror and goes away and straightway forgets which manner of man he was. If I look in the mirror and my shirt's all crooked, my tie's crooked, my hair's messed up, I don't want to look like that. But I look in the mirror and I forget what I look like and I walk out anyway. I may be looking to people a way I don't want to look. I might be presenting myself in a fashion I don't want to present myself. Now, the person who hears the word of God and does not walk the walk and do the word of God is like the man who looks in the mirror and walks away. He might as well have never heard the word. He might as well have never heard it. Now, over here, you look in Psalms 91, and there's that. I just wanted to show you that. I mentioned it yesterday, and I'll fly by these scriptures. You may not be familiar with them, so some people will, some won't. So let's turn to them, Psalms 91 there. Let me catch up with you, and we're going to look down, and let's look at verse 14 through 16. And notice here, if you read it all when you get a chance, read all of Psalms 91, because it's a good psalm talking about it. It started off in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Then skip down to verse 14, and it reads, because he have said, the God is acknowledging this man. Prior to this, it's a psalm of David, and he had talked about how he worshiped God and honored God, how he lived for God, how he kept God's commandments, how David was a man after God's own heart. He was a servant of the Lord. He was faithful to the things of God. He studied. He knew the word that was to be known. He loved God. He fellowshiped with God. He didn't live for himself. He lived for God and for other people. And then he says, this is what God says about that kind of person. Because he have set his love upon me, in verse 14, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. With long life, God said, will I satisfy him. with long life. God will give long life to those who obey him. You won't go out short and you won't go out prematurely, but obey is a big thing. Those that obey him. I cannot possibly obey a command that I do not know. If you want me to run around the block three times, and I want to please you and run around the block three times, if I don't know you want me to run around the block three times, I probably won't run around the block three times. If I want to be healthy and fulfill the number of my days and be satisfied with long life, but I won't learn or find out what the Word of God says or go to a church where they don't teach it about what God says about how I should eat and things like that, even if I want to live a long time, I won't. I'm going to be subject to the same diseases, the same problems, and the same thing that the rest of the people in the world are. Why? Because I don't know any better. I don't know any better. I don't know any better. Results follow knowledge. If you don't know, you can't act. If you don't act, you can't receive. Simple as that. Not difficult at all. Let's turn to our Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. And remember, we will prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Is it God's will to heal? Some people say it's not. Some people have questions. Now, it looked like to me way back in Isaiah, he set the plan up that you'll be healed. Jesus bore your sicknesses, carried your pains. When we were in our 1 Peter 2:24, we found out by stripes we were healed. Found out in Psalms 103 is one of the benefits of the Word of God. Let's look here in Matthew 4, verse 23. Are you there? Matthew 4:23 reads, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, number one, teaching. Why do you need to teach? Because folk need to learn. You know how many pastors don't teach? They just hoop and holler, put on a good show, and say we had church. And you walk out there as dumb as when you came in the door. And everybody think they had church. You don't know anything you didn't know before you came in. Jesus didn't go about it. I just envision it. I just don't see Jesus. I just don't see it. I don't see Jesus standing out to shore with everybody there. The whole city's come to watch him. He's healed. He's working miracles saying, and my God, I just don't see it. I don't see him hooping and hollering beyond articulate interpretation. I don't see him spitting cotton to the point where you don't know what's going on. I don't see him hollering out, somebody help me preach now. I don't see him doing that. I don't see Paul doing that. I don't see Peter doing that. I think they'd have thought they were retarded. And the thing is, how many people would go to a college and pay money if the teacher taught you like that? You go to college, you try and get a degree so you can get yourself some education and go get a good job, and the teacher's in there, and the square root of the hypotenuse. You'll be like, I'm going to another school. But why do we put up with that foolishness in church? If you got something important to say, say it so the most people can understand it. Say it so the most people can understand it. Because after all, your desire is to teach, isn't it? And you do know what you're talking about, don't you? Sometimes that's the problem. People don't know what they're talking about. So they just trying to fill the 2-hour service they do or whatever they do. Trying to fill it with time. You know, somebody help me preach. Somebody get an organ and help me. Y'all don't hear me now tonight. Ain't nobody out there trying to help me. Can somebody help me? You do need some help. You need to go study the Bible a little better so you have something to teach. But Jesus went about teaching in the synagogues and preaching. Preaching was not hooping and hollering. Preaching is proclaiming. He went about teaching. Preaching here explains the subject matter that he taught. Preaching doesn't explain the way he presented it. It's the subject matter. He went about teaching. What was it he taught? Preaching just means proclaiming. Jesus went about teaching everywhere. But when he was teaching, what was the subject matter? What was he proclaiming? What was he preaching? When he went about teaching, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Another way we say it is he was teaching the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel called? The good news. He was teaching, you don't have to be sick no more. You don't have to be poor no more. You don't have to be under bondage to sin anymore because Jesus has come to set you free. He was teaching and preaching the gospel, not hooping and hollering, teaching and preaching the gospel. And look here, the gospel of the kingdom and first teaching, preaching the message of the gospel and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of sickness. Now, when did the healing come? After the teaching went forth. Why? Because you have to get faith from having been taught. So what happens when your pastor hoops and hollers every week and doesn't teach? You have no choice but to have little faith unless you're just a super pupil and you go home and study on your own. Because you didn't even accidentally learn nothing at church. I've known people going to church for 40 years and know about as much word as I could fit in a teaspoon. Serious. And that's just what they've heard the person hoop and holler over and over. That's why so many people believe false things and have faith for things that won't work. And can't have faith for what does work. Why so much of the church does not know it's God's will to heal them. The Lord heals who he wants to. He moves in mysterious ways. He's wonders to perform. Well, that's funny. My Bible said these things were written that you might know what is the will of God. Well, what's the wondrous miracles if it's written? If it's revealed, then there's no mystery about it. I just ain't read it. Just hadn't heard it. Just hadn't studied it. Now, there are some things we don't know for. We see through a glass darkly now. But we'll see perfect in the millennium kingdom with God. We'll see perfectly, but not about healing. We see that perfectly now. Suppose somebody said, Lord, I couldn't get saved because, see, I saw through a glass darkly at that time on salvation. No, you know about salvation because it's been revealed how to be saved. You can know about healing. It's been revealed how to be healed. But unless you hear it enough, not one time, not two times, unless you hear it enough for faith to come, it won't be active in your life. We prayed for people and got them healed of AIDS. We prayed for people and got them healed of deaf ears open up. We prayed in all kinds of things. People got healed, but it was onto them according to their faith. And most of them didn't hear it for the first time. They had meditated. They had studied it where they had faith to receive. They had faith to believe. And then they received. Because God is not a man that he would lie. If he's not a respected person, he healed anybody, he'll heal everybody under the same circumstances. Otherwise, the Bible's lying and God's a liar. And we all in trouble if God's a liar. God's will is that we be healed. I mean, if it's not his will be healed, why would he go about all over the place teaching, preaching the kingdom and then healing all manner of sickness if he wanted folks sick? Why would he go around healing folk if he want folks sick? As long as you're in Matthew, look at 10. Matthew 10. Flip over to Matthew 10. Are we learning yet? Matthew 10. Matthew 10. We're just warming up. Matthew 10, verse 1. Are you there? And when he had called unto his 12 disciples. Now, who had 12 disciples? So we know they're talking about Jesus. When Jesus called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, if God's will is not that people heal, why did Jesus, who did the perfect will of God, get out of the will of God to go around healing folks of all manner of sickness? If it's not God's will to heal. And on top of that, if it's not God's will to heal, why would he go giving other people the ability to heal? Why would he do that if it's not his will to heal? Seems like to me, if you don't want something done, you don't go around doing it. If I don't want everybody healed, I don't go around healing all the people of sickness and disease. Now, you notice that these people came unto Jesus. And Jesus sent these people out and people came unto them. Jesus didn't track folks down to heal them. He'd pass people by in his day or people run to him like blind Bartimaeus. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they're like, shut up. The master's coming. Shut up. And they say he cried even more the louder until Jesus recognized the voice of faith in the midst of all the other people screaming and shouting. He said, who calls unto me? And he went to blind Bartimaeus and he said, what should I do unto you? He said that I might have my sight. And he said, and he took his beggar's clothes away from him and said, rise and be healed. And he went off healed. Seen. He called unto Jesus. He was with Jesus in the press. He was there with the woman in the issue of how many people are sitting at home now and don't come to church talking about if God's will to heal me, he'll heal me. And they won't even come here to teaching on healing. How many people? Because they still think God's going out his way to get you healed. He's already gone out of his way. It was doggone inconvenient for him to take those stripes that night. He's already gone out his way to get you healed. And people won't inconvenience themselves enough to hear the word of God enough that they can grow. To hear it. I've pastored for 12 years and I've been in ministry longer than that. And I see what happens to people and I see how Satan's doing it and I see it coming. But some people don't listen when you tell them you need to be in church. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to put God first. Oh, no, it's going on about their business. God didn't give me liberty to tell them what's around the corner, but I'll tell them in preaching. I'll tell everybody at the same time what's around the corner. But folks won't heed God's instruction. They're busy. What did the Bible say? The cares of this world do choke out the word of God. What is going on in this world is more important than getting the word. What's out there so important is when my show is on tonight. Okay, well, you watch your show. Watch your show. Be happy watching your show. Think about it. Those are the kind of decisions people make. I'm too busy on Sunday to come to church. I was tired. Well, why didn't you go to bed on Saturday if it was important to come to church? Well, the real thing is, it wasn't important for me to come to church on Saturday. That's why I didn't go to bed. God is not to be made a fool or mock. He knows exactly where we are even when we don't. That's why I pray, the Lord, show me the way you see me. Because I've been known to lie to myself. I can't trust how I see me. God, you show me how you see me. And the word to show me, where it says, forsake not the assembling of the saints as is the manner of some, and even more so, don't forsake it as the day of the Lord coming approaches. God showed me that scripture, and I had to decide whether I was going to be obedient to it or not. You guys pressed in tonight. You're here. You had some other things you could have done, some other place you could be. You pressed in. Some other people let devil talk them out of it. And some of them, the word is for them. There's sickness stirring in their body right now. Just around the corner for the doctor to give them prognosis. God is Jehovah Jireh. He's God that supplies the need. He's God their provider. He's El Shaddai, the God that sees the need in advance and supplies it in advance abundantly. He's giving the word out today to prevent what the devil's starting in people's life now so they can head it off with their faith. And people don't even want to come get the word. But you know, that's where it's always been. That's where it will always be. That's why Jesus, when they talked to him about Jesus, let's go over here with these poor people. Jesus said, look, they'll be poor with you always. You expect me to rob them of their lot? You expect me to rob them of their lot? A boy wanted to go be with his dad. His dad was dying. He wanted to go be his father. Jesus said, look, you better let the dead bury the dead and take up your cross and follow me. But that'd be kind of rude. Your dad's sick. He's dying. He's dying. And I just want to go be with him. Jesus knew his dad wasn't saved, didn't care nothing about the Lord. And Jesus said, you better not be caring a whole lot about that. You better stay with the word. We look at Mary and Martha. You know the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus came over to the house. Jesus got the word of God. God was right there. God's in the midst of them. And Martha, I think it is, like somebody said, there's a book I call How to Have a Mary Heart in a Martha World. And Martha is there trying to get the house clean, trying to make sure Jesus got it just right. And then she, Lord, Mary won't help me. She won't help me. And Jesus said, Mary hath chose the better thing. And Martha probably was pretty mad because she thought she had Mary topped. I'm the righteous one. I'm the one that's doing good. I got a nice looking house for Jesus. You think Jesus is caring about what your house look like if he's trying to preach to you? You can clean the house when he leave. Or should have cleaned it before he came. Something. But right now, it's time to sit at the feet of the Lord and to hear. Right now, it's time to hear the word. So you're here hearing the word. Other people are out doing something else, cleaning the house, buying Christmas gifts, trying to celebrate Jesus' birthday. I told you, if you ever celebrate my birthday, please don't buy each other gifts. Somehow it just ain't the same if you give each other gifts at my birthday party. It just ain't the same. Let's go on here a little bit further. We look there in Matthew 10:1, and it said that, and when they had called unto him, 12, Jesus gave power to them to go out and to cast out the devils and to heal all manner of sickness. He gave them power to go out. Now, if it's not his will to heal, why would he give folks the power to go out? Since he's trying to get people to emulate him, since he's trying to reproduce himself. Let's look at Matthew 15, as long as you're there. Let's turn to Matthew 15, verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. It's God's will to heal you is unmistakable. I'm not even going to go through all the scriptures to prove it's God's will to heal. Matthew 15, 21. Matthew 15, you still there? Matthew 15, 21. Keep the switch of faith on. Keep listening. Stay hooked up. Matthew 15, 21, and we're going to read down through verse, let's read down to verse 28. And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. See, the woman came to Jesus. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. You know, that's just plain old rude. Somebody's trying to get their daughter healed. They talking to you and you just ignoring them. But doesn't Jesus know that's rude? You know what? Some folk need to be ignored, though. If you really study Jesus' personality, it's not the way he was taught. He was much tougher, and in our worldly definitions, rude, much ruder than we think he was. Jesus was not concerned about what folk thought about him. There's one day he preached a sermon, and the Bible said many of them were offended at what he said. And the disciples said, don't you care that they be offended, Lord? He said, I don't care if they're offended. And the Bible said they were so offended, they left him and they followed him no more. All he did was preach the word. But they were so offended at him telling the truth, they left him and followed no more. And he didn't care. And when they came complaining, care you not that they're offended and they leave? Jesus said, will you leave also? They said, no, where else are we to go? You have the word. Jesus didn't care about folks not wanting to hear. He came to bring the truth. He just know everybody don't want to hear it. And Jesus ignored her. That could be considered rude. Preaching and people taking offense, that could be considered rude. But if you're telling the truth and you're telling it in love, you got to realize some folks can be offended because some folks don't want to hear they're wrong. They don't want to hear they made mistakes. And behold, a woman of Canaan came, and in verse 28, but Jesus answered her not a word. He heard her talking to him. He just answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Should we send her away? For she cries after us. She's telling us to talk to you now. I mean, should we send her away? But he answered and said, you know, he ain't even going to talk to the lady. He says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was sent by the Father to the children of Israel at that time. He ministered to children of Israel, not to the Gentiles. He didn't go through Rome. He didn't go over there. He was ministering in Jerusalem to the lost sheep, to the children of God. And then came she, the woman, and she worshiped him. And it says literally in the Greek what it was, she fell at his feet. So in the act of worship, she came to him, got to him, and she fell at his feet saying, Lord, help me. She acknowledged him as Lord. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet or fit or right or proper to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Now, what was this woman looking for? She was looking for a healing for her daughter, for demons to be cast out of her, for a body to be healed and made whole. She was looking for healing. And what did Jesus say? Healing doesn't belong to dogs. It belongs to the children of the kingdom. Now, the Bible tells us that because Israelites did not receive him when he came, the Bible says he came into his own and they received him not. And because the Israelites did not receive him, God did open up that whosoever will receive Jesus by faith, then are they the children of Abraham. So now what happens is we came to a point where every Gentile, I was of African origin. I was a Gentile. I was not a Jew. I was a Gentile. White people were of European origin. They were not Jewish people. They were Gentiles. But all of us now can be spiritual children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. So literally, we were once the dogs. We were not of the children of Israel. Because they didn't receive him, he's now opened it up to everybody can get in. Whosoever wills, let him come. Whosoever will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, they will be saved. So now, that bread of healing that they were talking about, that bread of deliverance that they were talking about is still unto the children, not to the non-children. But now are we the children? So if we be the children and the bread to the children is healing, how can we say it's not God's will that we be healed if that be our bread? To eat of healing, to receive healing. Let's go on. Verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, that's true. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Her faith, Jesus responded to it, although he considered her a dog, not being of the children of Israel, her faith called him to respond because God is pleased by faith. And that woman had faith and she believed that he had the ability to heal and that he would when even the children of Israel were trying to stone him. You know, the Passion of Christ was out and a lot of people all upset saying it's an anti-Semitic movie. It's against Jews. And they were upset because the Palestinians, they took the movie and they said, yep, that's just who the Jews are, killing everybody. And the Jews got upset and they came against the movie. Hey, it just told it the way it was. The Jews are the ones who crucified Jesus. They stood there and Pontius Pilate was saying, look, I wash my hands. This man is an innocent man. He's done nothing that I see. The Roman procurator said he's done nothing that I see worthy of death. He's done nothing worthy of death. But they said, well, it's my habit on the feast to give you one person. Who should we give you? They said, give us that known murderer, Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. The Jews are the ones that got him killed. Now, if they're upset that they got him killed, ain't just being upset. And the Palestinians exploited it. It's still true. But Jews, like they were in Jesus' day, always run around getting offended. Those Jews, not the ones of Messianic Jews, but they were offended. But it's true. If you're offended by what people did, just don't do that. But if Jesus came today, many of them who are Orthodox would still crucify him again. Because they still don't recognize him as Lord. But many more do now than did then. Because there's many Messianic Jews. Let's go on here a little bit further. But you do see it's God's will to heal there. Let's go back to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Now, we're going through the Old and New Testament just so you can see how prevalent healing is in the Bible, how much it is God's will. Because I want you to have faith for healing. I want you to believe that it's God's will that you be healed, because that's important to the further teaching we're going to do. Psalms 107. And let's look at verse. Let's go to verse 8. Psalms 107, verse 8. Are you there? And we're going to read all the way down to verse 22. Oh, the men would what? Oh, let me let you get there. I still hear some pages. Psalms 107, verse 8. Are you there? Everybody there. Oh, the men would do what? Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing of the soul and filleth the hungry with goodness. Such as sit in the darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in afflictions and irons. Because they rebelled against the word. I wonder where did afflictions and irons come from? God is good and he satisfies the longing of the soul and he'll deliver people who are hungry, as it were, for righteousness and for his lifestyle, even those such as sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death. Yea, though I'm facing the shadow of death. Being bound in affliction and iron because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. God said eat one way, but their taste buds said eat another way. God said eat one way, but all the mass marketing says eat another way. God said, do this. The world said, do that. Our disobedience brings problems onto us. The Bible says obedience is far better than sacrifice. There are people that pay their tithes every day of their life but won't do half of what God said do. And he said obedience is far better than sacrifice. Because of rebellion against the word of God. Now, notice rebellion can be ignorantly or intentionally. So I understand it does include you just may not have known any better. But because of rebellion against the word of God, it condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord. They came back to God. Some of us need to cry unto God and come back. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and out of the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he hath broken. Now let's stop there for a moment. Praise him for his wondrous works. When we're thinking God's teaching people a lesson by making them sick, is that giving praise to God? When we think God took people immaturely, is that giving praise to God? You know, if you blame me for killing somebody and I ain't do it, I'm be pretty upset at you. When we say the Lord took him and the Lord didn't take him, Satan took him. He's the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy, but we say God did it. I mean, that you just don't know God well. Oh, the men would praise God for his goodness and for his wondrous works, not for what the devil did. Don't praise God for what the devil did. We've had people pray and say, I thank God that he took them so they didn't suffer more. God's will wasn't for them to suffer nor take them. His will was for them to get healed. Now, if you study the Bible, you'll see that's God's will. God's will is that they be healed. God's will not anybody die prematurely, not anybody go out with Satan getting any glory. God gets glory from people being healed, not from people dying. And God has the ability to heal. He's already paid the price, but he wants us to get in faith and receive our healing by faith and be able to stand up and say, God healed me. You know, Tyrone's dad, when he got healed of AIDS, he came and he thanked God. He thanked God for it. He said, God, didn't he? He thanked God. And is he still preaching? He's out and see, he was supposed to be dead. And one doctor said, when Tyrone came to me, I knew his dad because his dad had come to church a time or two. And his dad went ahead and obeyed God and started church in September of 1998. And they had just started church, him and his partner down there in Boynton Beach, had started the church. They obeyed God, started the ministry. And due to some indiscretions, as when he was younger, he had contracted HIV. And so he went full blown AIDS about a month after he had just started the church. And Tyrone came about November. He said, Pastor, you know, you need to come see my dad. I said, well, what's wrong with it? Got AIDS. Got AIDS. Man, he got AIDS. What? Oh, he told story. He said, and dad and gave up on living. He think the Lord's judging him. That's what you said. He think God's judging him because of his indiscretion when he was young and not being pure and chaste, and God's judging him. Where did he get God's judging him from? Some preacher. Some preacher taught him that when you get sick, it's because God did it. So we have faith for what we hear. He believed that God did it. And if we hadn't gone over there and obeyed God to minister to him, he'd have been dead. But God's will is that he heal. Tyrone said, go over there. I said, well, okay, you know, I'll come over there. And we drove down there to Boynton Beach, and he had a brand new house there. Wasn't that the new house that they built, or was he moving the house later? That was the new house. Had a nice wife and family and a young son, and hey, Satan was trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Trying to take the boy, little boy's father, Leviticus, trying to take Leviticus' father. Leviticus was that time about 4 or 5. He was real young, real young. And then Satan's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Trying to take Tyrone's dad, way too young to go. And we could have said, well, the will of God be done. Well, Tyrone, we ain't going over there, the will of God be done. We went over to see what was going on, but Tyrone had told me, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, I want you to get the video called Live and Not Die. There's no magic in this video. This is just what the Lord said for his case. Jesus, when he was healing, some people said he spit in the dirt, put it in their eyes and said, go wash. Other people just said, your sight be restored. So you can't just use what's for everybody. So I ain't no use going by the tape saying that's the magic key. The magic key is faith, not the tape. Now, I thought it was kind of weird. And I got a pretty good reputation in this town. So I ain't want to do nothing stupid like going to get nobody no video, talk about what I heard the voice of God say. I went to get the video and I said, I wasn't going to tell him. I was just going to disobey God and wasn't going to do it because I'm like, no, I got a pretty good reputation. I ain't going over there talking about no tapes. But I went over there and before I knew it, it came out when I was talking to him. And I just said, as a video, the Lord told me to get for you called Live and Not Die by Norval Hayes. He told me to have you listen to it 21 times and get up off the bed of sickness. I said, well, I guess I said it. I guess I ought to do it if I don't want to be a liar. So after I left, he was bad. We went in the room. The lights was off. He didn't want nobody in there. He was at that point where loud sound is a problem. Light is a problem. He was in a dark room. I walked in there and I couldn't see him because he was in the bed with all the lights off and the shades drawn in the middle of the day. In the depths, he was in the valley of the shadow of death. And that's where he wanted to be because he was so depressed and he was thinking the devil's thoughts that God was judging him because some preacher put that in his mind. And he didn't know no better. He would have preached the same thing they've talked to him because faith came by hearing it, even if it's wrong. So we go in there and we're just obeying God. I don't know nothing. I'm just going on. I wasn't planning on doing it. I was, to tell you the truth, I was planning on being disobedient, you know. But I went there and then before I knew it, I had enough sense to open my mouth and it came out. And so I said, we got to find it. We found it. We got it to him. I ain't hear much else about it. One doctor said he will not see 1999. He'll be dead by December. The other doctor said he'll be dead by the end of January. Because the AIDS had progressed so much that he was out of the hospital because they said there's nothing else we can do. Had spent his money and they sent him home and he was in hospice care. They was just pumping him with a bunch of poisons just trying to keep the pain down. And I came in the room, it's dark. I said, Brother Lane, is that you? Yeah, that's me, Pastor Cook. That's me. I said, well, what you doing in here in the dark? Oh, yeah, I ain't doing so good. I said, well, why you ain't doing so good? Jesus still Lord, isn't he? Yeah, he's still Lord, but you know, I don't let folks talk when they go in and talk about a bunch of doubt and unbelief. I just cut him off when no one said what the Lord said. I'm getting to talk to him and say, you know, you ain't know you're giving the devil no glory. You need to open up these windows and let the light in and go ahead and get right and get healed and get up off that bed. Laying down there doing that. And then I went ahead and said what the Lord said and I left. I got to spend all day. I said what I had to say and I left. And then I got the tape, sent the tape back, gave it to Tyrone. Tyrone gave it to him. And it's 1999 in January, about the 21st, I think it was. I'm sitting up in church. I look over there on that side at the old church. Brother Lane sitting over there. And I said, just interrupt my train of thought. I looked at him and said, aren't you supposed to be dead? He said, devil thought he had me, but Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. That's God. That's God. That's the way God works. God gets you healed so he can get glory from you being healed. He don't get no glory from taking you home. He doesn't get any glory from rescuing you from the pain. He's already rescuing the pain. He's trying to get you in faith. Now, I do know because some people don't have faith. Thank God, I guess, that they did die. But it wasn't God's best. To die is gain. It ain't no big deal. If I die today, I don't care. The only reason I want to stay around here another day anyway is like Paul said, for your continued joy of faith. To be here for my kids, to be here for my wife, to be here to finish the call of God. Other than that, I don't care about dying. You know my motto, if I die today, that just means I don't have to go to work tomorrow. So I don't care. To die is gain. I have a full revelation of that. To die is gain. There'll be no pain. I will leave from here and the next moment I'll be in the presence of God because the word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I ain't afraid of death. I used to be afraid of it, but I ain't afraid of it. I don't care because I'm ready to go. But I got other stuff to do, so I'll take the worst of jobs and stay here and do the stuff. Be far better to go to heaven. To die is gain, Paul said. But see, that's what God gets glory from, not from folks talk about trying to talk folk into staying sick and trying to make up doctrine about God's, you know, God counted you worthy to endure this and Jesus suffered too and you're suffering. Now, ain't nowhere in the Bible where you ain't seen Peter suffering no sickness for Jesus. You saw him suffering persecution for the gospel's sake, but it wasn't things Jesus already paid the price for. Peter was not poor. Peter was not sick. Peter was not any of these things we talk about. I guess I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, we're suffering from not being wise in the word and not being obedient. We're suffering from a bad case of ignorance, not from for Jesus. Jesus didn't suffer any sickness till he took yours on the tree. He was healed all the days of his life. Why wouldn't he want you healed all the days of your life? And if he bore your sickness, why you got to bear it? Let's use our minds. When we study the word of God, and that Bible says the renewing of the mind, some people mistakenly say it, when you get saved, it's the removing of your mind. No, you don't stop thinking when you get saved. You still read and you still think. Does that make sense that God came down to kill everybody? Does that make sense? And that doesn't even make any sense. Let's go a little bit further here. Oh, the men would praise him. Verse 16, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools. Verse 17, they talk about affliction and why people suffered affliction back then around verse 11. Now, verse 17, it said fools because of their sin. That's what transgression means. Fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities and their sins are afflicted. Now, some of us are fools. Some of us are just ignorant. It's a difference. A foolish man is a man who knows better and doesn't act like he knows it. An ignorant man is a man who just don't know any better. But fools also, it is true with fools. He's not saying everybody who's afflicted is a fool. He's saying it's a fact about fools that they are afflicted because they're foolishness. Fools, because of their sin and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw nigh unto the gates of death. Then they cry, and that's Revelation. They talk about meat, meat for your spirit, things that help you grow in God. They abhor it. They don't want to hear nothing good sense. They want to hear some mess. They may know all the soap operas. They might know who shot J.R. and who married who and so and whatever. They may know all that. They may know all the baseball stats, all the football, all that plethora of worthless information. They know it, but they don't know anything about the word of God. Fools abhor the meat of the word. You remember Paul said, I would to feed you more, but you're not able to take meat of the word. I have to give you milk. So the word of God sometimes is called meat. So he's saying they abhor meat. Not talking about meat you eat. He's talking about meat for your spirit. The things are good for your spirit. And they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. But even then, in the midst of all that, they turned to God and cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distress. And look here. How did he save them? He sent his word and it healed them. Do you know what will heal you? Getting the word of God so you can have faith on what God really said and how to receive the word of God, not based on what preachers have taught or what we believed up until now. He sent his word. Why did he send his word? He sent his word and healed them. So that must mean he sent his word to heal them and to deliver them from their destruction. Although we've done things to destroy ourselves physically, we're still here. We can turn it all around by getting in the word of God and walking according to God's diet and understanding it's God's will that I be healed. And when the devil talks about dying, you say, nope, with long life shall he satisfy me. I shall fulfill the number of my days. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. We begin to speak out of our mouth the word of God because it says don't let the word of God cease to be in your mouth. So we're not going to talk sickness. We're going to talk health. I noticed when we're at Hippocrates Center over there, which is a treatment center, and Hippocrates Center, they encourage people, don't be taught about all the disease. Don't be taught about what's wrong. Because you know, everybody want to ask, what are you in for? Like it's jail or something. What are you in for? Well, I'm in because I got malaria. I'm in because I got cancer. I'm in because I got a palpitation of the heart. They say, don't even talk about that. Because see, you're dwelling on the negative. You're dwelling on the negative. You're in the wrong spirit. And what do people tell you? They don't mean to do it, but when they hear you're sick, what do they do? Well, what's wrong? And by the time the 99th person called you, you so convinced you got it, it's hard to have any faith. That's why, like, when we're dealing with people in the hospital and they're fighting some serious things, I encourage them to sequester themselves. Don't let everybody come in. If I was sick in the hospital, although y'all love me, I wouldn't let all y'all in. Because I'm fighting on the front line against the devil. I can't have nobody saying, Pastor, you're one of the good guys. I don't know why it came on you, Pastor. Pastor, we praying for you. You know, don't worry. Everything going to be okay. Can I have your shoes? It's going to be all right. I don't know why this is happening to you, Pastor. No, I need folks saying, you know what? You're going to make it. God healed you. I need folks surrounding me with faith. And you need folks surrounding you with faith. So don't call all your relatives when you're sick. Don't tell everybody you're sick. They will rob you of your faith. They don't mean to. They just don't know no better. Where is it? Is that big lump gone down yet? Are you any better yet? Faith coming by hearing. If they keep reminding you when you're trying to believe, they'll undo your faith. You trying to believe, because faith come by hearing. If folk keep asking you and keep bringing you back on the natural, you're going to be stuck in the natural, and your faith will be stronger in the natural than spiritual. I'm not moved by what I see. I prayed and asked God, and God is healing. I reach up by my faith, and I receive healing. I don't care what my body feels like. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, the healing power of God is flowing through my body, affecting a cure and a healing right now. I resist sickness. I resist the devil. It has no place. It doesn't belong to me. Devil, I'm not signing for that package anymore. Sickness may come around. It's going to keep going around, but it's not coming nigh my dwelling. You just begin to spot out the word. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. He bore my sicknesses on the tree. You begin to fill yourself with the word of God, and there's an energy, there's a spiritual power that's in there that can make a change in your body. You can build your will to be healed and match it with your faith and take the corresponding actions and stop eating wrong stuff, eat the right stuff, and you'd be surprised how quickly your body will heal itself. You'd be surprised how quick the power of God will work on the inside of you to bring about healing. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised, but you got to put off the negative. The Bible told us what to talk about in Philippians. He said, whatsoever things are good, pure, lovely, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It says, let no vile communication come out of your mouth, but only speak those things towards edification, exhortation, or comfort. Stop saying stuff that's not towards edification, exhortation, comfort, and stop thinking things that are not good, lovely, pure, and of a virtue or praise. And then you'd be surprised how you'll change your whole disposition because you're a product of what you think. All of our problems are based on how we think. When we have problems, because we think wrong. When things work well for you, it's because you thought right and acted right in that area. It's a product of what you meditate. Whatever you think on grows. Whatever you think on grows. Let's go a little bit further. Let's change gears just a little bit here. I want to look at the importance of obeying God to your healing. How to get healed, you're going to have to obey God. Look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. You still there? Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Now, if you want to know how to get healed, of course, we talked about yesterday, you got to be saved, you got to be born again, because healing belongs to the child of God. That Greek word for salvation in Romans 10:9-10, we said yesterday was sozo, which means to be whole, which implies spirit, soul, and body. Being saved. When you get saved, God counts you whole in spirit, soul, and body, because now you're entitled to it all. But it still would be unto you according to your faith. So, of course, you got to be a convert. You got to be born again to be entitled to the healing power of God. It's your right to be healed. It's your right to be financially blessed. But now you got to go to the word of God and say, now that my spirit is reborn, recreated. When I got born again, nothing needs to be changed in my spirit. My spirit is reborn, recreated, but I'm ignorant. I need to know things. I need to renew my mind. That's where we went back to Romans 12:1, where it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means I was currently have the thoughts of the world, and I processed information worldly. I believe what the world told me. But now that I'm saved, I've got a brand new spirit. It's alive unto God, but I still got that same old mind. And the Bible tells me what to do with that mind. Romans 12:1 was written to the church, written to Christians. It says, if I don't want to remain being conformed to this world, I got to be transformed. Well, how am I going to be transformed, God? I'm going to renew my mind. What do I renew my mind to? By the renewing of your mind to the word of God, and then you'll be able to prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. It's the will of God I be healed. It's the will of God I be blessed. It's the will of God I touch other people. It's the will of God I bless other people. I'm only going to prove that if I renew and change my mind and my thinking. I've got to change it. I've got to change it by the word of God. That's why it's detrimental to your faith to go to a church that doesn't teach the word of God. I'd get out as quick as I could. It's detrimental to your faith. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. It'll cost you something. Now let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 1. Don't you love going back to Proverbs? Proverbs 3, the book of wisdom, principles of wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 8. Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 8. This is God talking, and he says, my son, forget not my law. But let thine heart, figuratively, that means your mind, will, and emotions. I looked that up in the Hebrew language, and it means your mind, will, and emotions. So my son, forget not my law, and not let your mind, your will, and emotions. What does that sound like? Your soul. God is saying, forget not my law, but let thine soul keep my commandments. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Let them line up with the commandments of God. Will to do what God said. Keep your emotions in subjection to what God said, and think the thoughts of God so that you agree to do what God said. For length of days. Uh-oh. You mean to tell me if my soul prospers and I keep God's commandments, one of the benefits I'll have is for length of days? You know what length of days means? Long life. Long life. For length of days and long life. Put them both together. length of days and long life, and peace during that long life. Not worried about financial troubles and being sick. You know, when you're sick, there ain't a whole lot of peace going on in your body. Not a whole lot of peace going on in your mind. When your dad had AIDS, he didn't look like he was in peace sitting in that dark room. When I go visit people in the hospital and they're on their last leg, they don't look like they're in peace. I dare not go in there and say, are you having fun yet? Because I know better than that. They ain't having no fun sitting there. Sick days are not fun days. Sick days are not days of peace. So look at all God is saying, that if you forget not my law, and you let not your soul, your mind, your will, emotions, but you let them keep my commandments, I will add length of days, long life, and peace during that long life and length of days, peace in your body, shall they add to thee. By keeping the commandments of God, they will add peace unto you. They will add long life. Let not the mercy of the, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. The mercy of God and the truth of God's word forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. How do you write something upon the tables of your heart? Meditate. What is meditation? To mutter or ponder to oneself. When I learned a poem in high school, you remember, I mean, elementary, you remember I told you I had to learn Annabelle Lee? For I was a child and she was a child in this kingdom by the sea, but we love with the love that was more than love, I and my Annabelle Lee. With the love, the twing, the source of heavens coveted her and me. This is reason all men knew. And I go on through all that. I learned that useless piece of information, but I still know it now, but I didn't learn it by reading it once and then going to recite it. I had to mutter. Let me see. For I was a child and she was a child. Now, what's the next line? For I was a child and she was a child in this kingdom by the sea. And what's the next line? We love with the love that was more than love, I and my Annabelle Lee. What was the first line? For I was a child and she was a child. How did I get that in my heart to today? I have not recited that other than once every blue moon in the illustration in the last 30 years. But I can tell you the poem. I can go to the part where it says, the stars never rise, but I see the bright eyes of my beautiful Annabelle Lee. And now I lie down by the side of my life and my bride in her tomb in the sepulcher by the side of the sea, by the surrounding sea. How do I remember all that useless information? The same way you should remember the word. It becomes a part of you when you meditate it. There's a whole lot of folks that have a general familiarity with the word because they heard a preacher say something in church or they heard something in Sunday school when they were kids. But how many people know the word? They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That means great, marvelous, and mighty deeds. They who know their God. They who know their God. When we were in Guatemala and prayed for the girl and her ears opened and different things happened, they who know their God would do strong, great exploits. When you get to know God, you won't be moved. I am not afraid of the devil. The devil has no authority over me. He has no power. He can't do anything. I don't cooperate. And I'm working on changing my whole diet to quit cooperating with him. To quit cooperating with him. Because he has no authority. He can't do anything to you. He can't take you out. He can't beat you down. He can't take your money. He can't do anything that you don't cooperate with him to do it. He can't. Because you have authority over him, don't you? The Bible says he's under my feet. We sing that song. The devil's under my feet. He's under my feet. Now my victory is complete. Jesus spoiled principalities, made a show of them openly. The devil's under my feet. That is from the word of God. That is what the word says. The devil's under your feet and Jesus made a show of him openly and he embarrassed him. And now the body of Christ rules and reigns over him. If you're ruling and reign over him, why is he on your shoulder telling you what to do and making you afraid you're going to die and all this? Satan put that thought. You could have somebody die and he'll tell you, you better watch out. You're going to die next. No, I'm not. I mean, if he said something to me like that, he know better than even try that with me. But if he said it to me, I said, no, I'm not. That's got nothing to do with me at all. With long life shall satisfy me, I'll fulfill the number of my days. So whenever Satan speaks his words, what do you do? You take Jesus' example. Satan tempted Jesus 3 times and he said, look, he spoke his words and Jesus said, for it is written. He tempted him again and Jesus says, for it is written. He tempted him again and Jesus said, for it is written. And then the Bible says, and Satan left him for a season. And all Jesus did was spoke the word. He didn't go get 39 prayer partners to agree with him. He didn't go say, pastor, please help me, please help me. He knew the word for himself because he had meditated. The Bible says, it doesn't say much about Jesus when he was a boy from the time he was an infant, but it does say that when it's time of the census had come, and as was the custom, they had to go back to the city you were born in to give the census, and Jesus went back with his mother, Mary and Joseph, and then on the way back, they thought he was with the other family, but he wasn't. He stayed back sitting at the feet of the prophets, and he said, and the teachers, and they said, he waxed strong in the word. Jesus himself had to sit and learn the word because he put off all his priestlyhoodness and he came down as a man. Jesus grew up and had to learn the word. And the Bible said, and in the scriptures, he found himself. He didn't live life as the Son of God. He lived life as a man anointed by God who had gotten full of the Word. And I found that I'm supposed to pastor in the Word. Not that it was a scripture. I kept studying, kept meditating until I could hear the voice of God. And I heard God say to me, "My son, you've been faithful and just in your service to me. I'm calling you to minister my Word. You must learn patience, for there should be a time when I shall not come to you for a season. I tell Helen she must be strong, for it should be time, for she should be your only friend. I shall send the wind and all those willing to go with you." And he goes on and says other things I keep private. But I heard God say it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, after I just finished cutting the grass. And I was laying across my bed on Nadal Drive in Detroit, Michigan. I remember what I was thinking. Well, I called Gerard. We'll take the girls out tonight and we'll go down, maybe go out to Fridays and have a little dinner, do this. And I heard a voice and I stopped and remembered, wasn't nobody in the house but me. So I shut up and started listening. And that's what I heard, a call to the ministry. I studied in the Word until I could hear the voice of God, and God began to speak to me. You got to have faith that God wants to talk to you before you ever hear. Some folks don't know God wants to talk to you. You tell people, "The Lord spoke to me the other day," and they think you're just crazy. But you look in the Bible, God was talking to folk all the time. The Spirit of God said unto him, and the Spirit of God spoke unto him, and the Spirit of God said unto him. God wants to talk to you. Prayer is two-way communication. You talk to him, he talk to you. But if you've been taught wrong, you don't have faith to be able to hear God's voice. Or if you hear it, it gets lost. Because the Bible said there are many voices, none are without significance. But test the spirits to see whether there be a God. So maybe you don't know God well enough that you can recognize his voice. If there's five ladies in that other room, I can hear all their voices. I can tell you whether my wife is one of them or not. But if you go in there and I don't know you that well, I don't know if you're one of them or not. Because I don't know your voice. I don't know you. I hadn't spent enough time with you. I've spent time with the Lord. I've spent time with Helen. So I can pick his voice out from the rest of them voices I'm hearing in my head. The voice of what your parents told you when you was a kid. The voice of the media. The voice of the radio. The voice of books you read. The voice of happy church members. The voice of disgruntled church members. You hear all kind of voices in your head. But I can pick out the voice of God because I know his voice. I know what he would say, and I know immediately what he wouldn't say. That ain't God. God wouldn't say that. Sound a lot like him. Good ventriloquist imitation, Satan, but that ain't God, because God wouldn't say that. Because I know God, and he wouldn't say that. If you came from another room and said, "My wife said you love the devil and she leaving you," I said, "No, you're lying." Why? I wasn't even there. How I know you're lying? Because I know my wife. She wouldn't say that. She wouldn't say that. See, so that when you get to know people, you can hear their voice and recognize it better. The more you study the Word of God, you will come to a point where you can hear God talking to you. He won't talk to you every day about everything. He'll talk to you through the Word mostly, but you'll be able to hear when he specifically wants you to do something. I cannot find in the Bible I'm supposed to go leave Tulsa, Oklahoma and come to West Palm Beach to start a church. But God spoke to me and he said, "This is a year for you to go out. You prepared yourself for ministry and I've called you and now I'm choosing you. And you're to go to West Palm Beach." And we obeyed. We came and it's God. It's God. And he's had to help us all along the way. God wants to speak to you. God wants to bless you. God wants good things to you. But look what it said there in verse 4. "So shalt thou find favor and good" what? Do you know what that word means in the, some of you have it in the margin of your Bible. I have it in the margin of my Bible and also looked it up in the, Hebrew there. What does it mean? You should find good. It's not even esteem. Good understanding is success. God says, keep that word and you get length of days, long life. You'll have peace. Let mercy and truth, don't forsake them. Bind them on your heart. Meditate them. Make them a part of you. Just like that poem I know. "So shalt thou find favor and shall have good success in the sight of God and in the sight of man." And in the sight of man. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." And Amplified, it says, "and make straight thy path." Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Does God want you healed, or does God not want you healed? God's will is that all be healed. Jesus paid the price for everybody to be healed. Just like he did for everybody to be saved. "And whosoever will be healed, let them come." Let them come into the Word of God and receive it and receive their healing. Let them study what God says. Now, in the next 2 days, I'm going to try and get over into some of the natural aspects if we can. There's a few more things we need to hit. We'll see, but I'm definitely going to get into the natural aspects by the last day where we'll go through a little bit more. And I want to go through the Bible and some of those scriptures and show you some of the scriptures. But we're talking about eating, but just saying, well, what does God want us to eat? Now, you can look in the natural and find in the natural what good things are to eat, and that'll help you right there a whole lot. But God says some things about what we're to eat. And I want to cover a little bit more on that. So probably sometime tomorrow I want to start on that. If not, definitely on Wednesday. So let's bow in prayer. We're out of time for now. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for the Word. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher, for being our revelator. We thank you that you help us to understand it is your will that we be healed. And the only reason we don't know anything about it is because we haven't been told. But we've heard your word, and we'll study and meditate those scriptures to make them a part of us, so no one can convince us that we need to be sick, because we don't have to be sick. It's God's will to be healed. All we have to do is play our part, and sickness cannot come nigh our dwelling, and sickness will leave our bodies. We don't have to have arthritis. We don't have to have diabetes. We don't have to have high blood pressure. We don't have to have even a headache. We don't have to have a cold. We don't have to have a runny nose. We don't have to have allergies. Jesus has redeemed us from sickness and all manner of disease, malady, or infirmity. Any type of weakness, he has redeemed us, and we can receive it and will receive it by faith. Because by our faith, after hearing the word of God and meditating and studying, it shall be unto us. And we say in advance, we shall be and that we are healed according to the word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.